Well, I want to turn over here in the book of Psalms this morning. Psalms, the 37th chapter. Again, we, as humans, we are passing through life. We're dealing with all the issues of life. And I want you to know that when Jesus went back, got ready to leave, he said he was going to need to go back, but he said, I will not leave you comfortless. I will not leave you alone. So as you're passing through life today and the issues that you deal with, the issues that you face, sometimes we can almost feel like that nobody else has dealt with what I'm dealing with. It's totally unique to me. Well, and I know sometimes there's certain little uniquenesses that we have, but there's really nothing new under the sun. Other people have dealt with it too, maybe a little different twist, but it's basically the same. We're dealing, the devil would like to confuse or confound or bring us to a place where we just want to quit. And I want to encourage us today not to quit. I want to tell you today that he's still here. He's alive. He wants to be our personal Savior, our personal guide. God has made available His very own Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God. He's made that available to be our guide, our comforter, the inspirer of our life. Let's embrace Him with all of our heart today. Lord, I need Your guidance. I need Your instruction, Your help in life. And I want to tell you, He hadn't left us alone. He's interested in helping us. So let's turn over here now in Psalms, the 37th chapter. Starts out with the word fret. And the next word is not. Fret not. You ever felt like you was just fretting? You ever felt like things rode pretty heavy on your shoulders? Well, I'll tell you what, I have. I've felt that way a number of times. And if we stay under the fretting, it won't be very long till we start feeling quite a bit of discontentment. We start feeling our peace ebbing away. It starts controlling your life. It takes a big part of you. This says, fret not yourself because of evildoers. Now, there's different aspects of this. The first part I want to deal with is our just simple fretting. Don't you think the devil knows our human makeup? And he knows if he can just put little needles in us every now and then, that he can keep us in a state of unrest all our time. Unless we learn this place that we can go in, the righteous runs into and are safe. You know where that is? That's our God. There's a place where the righteous run into and they're safe. So I would encourage us today as you go into, and all of us have opportunities, folks, to feel this way. I would just help us remind us this morning that as you're going through life, take assessment of where you are right here this morning. And if there's things that are just fretting, just irritating you, I'm not saying you shouldn't be concerned about life, but there's a place where this is taken to excess and it hinders your walk. And that's what the Lord doesn't want us to be hindered in this. He wants us to find a place of peace. Find a place of rest. Find a place where we can actually bring it to the Lord and rest in Him and give Him the time to bring it to pass. Bring it. Give Him time to bring the thing to fruition in the right way and rest in the will of the Lord. Don't you think we can do that this morning? I believe we can. I believe it would be beneficial to all of us. I can tell you that part of things that have bothered me and I've let it take my peace from time to time is the events that we see unfolding in our nation. Now, I believe with all my heart that God wants us to carry a burden and pray and be concerned about the moral decay that's all around us. He would want us to feel that. But you know, the devil would like to take that to the point that we get so wrapped up and so fretful about it that it steals the very peace of our soul. I want to tell you, there's a balance in this. And God wants us to have the balance. You know, when we get consumed with the fretting, then we will act in ways sometimes that are unwholesome and ungodly. And that's what the Lord wants to protect us against. Because He wants our soul in tune with heaven. So that's the reason why I want to stop at those two words for a little bit this morning. Fret not. And what we want to say by that, I believe the Lord wants us to learn a place that we can rest in the Lord. Take our concerns to Him. Do what He shows us to do. And leave the results in the hands of the Lord. Continue to carry the proper burden, but don't let it take our peace. Don't you think the Lord can help us with that? I believe He can. One of the things I believe that affected, what was his name? George Whitfield? May have even been, I don't remember who the man was. They were coming across over to this nation on a ship, and they were in a terrible storm. It was a storm that it looked like it was, the ship was going to go down. People were very afraid. And there was a group of brethren over there that they were just seemed to be at peace in the storm. And this man who was a prominent preacher coming over here to do missionary work here in America saw these other fellows over there just had it committed to the Lord. And he had, it did something to him. He said, they got something I don't have. Folks, don't you know the Lord needs to have people right here in America in the midst of the turmoil that we're in? Looks like a ship's about ready to go down. But doesn't he? The Lord needs to have people that has found a resting place, a hiding place in the Lord, that others can see that even if the ship looks like it's going to go down, we're just going to stay right here at peace in the will of God. I'm just going to put it all in His hand. So my part of my message to you this morning is fret not yourself. Then it says, because of evildoers. This goes into another area, I believe. You know, sometimes we can see what wicked people are doing, and it can almost be enticing. You know, there are certain enticements out there. There are certain... Well, it was said in the Scripture like this. He chose to suffer the afflictions of the righteous rather than to enjoy the pleasures... Is that what it said? The pleasures of sin for a season. So that lets us know that somewhere there is a certain amount of fleshly pleasure... that people find in indulging in sin. And along with that pleasure, there's a certain amount of appeal that can go with that. And I believe this Scripture would have us to understand that when we have a walk with the Lord and you see other people, and maybe at this moment in your life, it seems like things are a little difficult. Maybe you're going through a trial of your faith. At that moment, did you know the devil will start pointing to all the joy that other pleasures that other people seem to be having? And so I want to tell you, this Scripture tells us today, fret not yourself because of evildoers. Don't allow that to be an attraction to you, because at this moment it might seem to be an attraction, but may God help our eyes to be open that we can see the end of their way. Oh, sometimes we can be so nearsighted. You ever notice that? Us humans are so bound to have such a natural propensity to grab what's here now. and not recognize what the future is. Have you ever, did you know how hard it is to save for your future? Young folks, money. Young folks, when you go out there and you start, you got a job and you got money start coming in, and you want to spend it. Feels good to spend. You know, you go out there and I've got this new car now and I've got payments. Yeah, I can make these payments. Be careful now. I'm going to give you some caution. I don't suppose I could call it sin or call payments wrong, but I want to tell you, it can be a trap. I just want to give you, this is just what I would consider good, just common sense counsel right now. Be careful that you don't get so strapped, because that can be damaging to you. You know, it eventually causes a lot of fretting. Did you know you could see other people gaining the nice cars and the nice fine things? And did you know you can begin to want that so much you can fret yourself? That you can be enticed over there into something that's actually going to be long-term damaging to you? That's just a little side note here. But that also goes along in with this thought, folks. And as we're young, sometimes we want, it's so easy to, you know, the money's coming and it's hard to look into the future. Well, I'm 52 years old now. I want to tell you the future has gotten here pretty quick. And I realize that today I don't have the stamina that I had when I was that teenager back then. That how it had all the dreams of the future and could do things a lot easier than what I can now. I just don't have that. The future has gotten here quickly, and folks, it's very important to lay up treasure. Not necessarily monetary treasure either, but especially spiritual treasure. A lot of times we want to grasp what I can have now. I want the pleasure now. Well, let me tell you that I am reaping because I started putting some things in my youth in the bank of heaven. I'm reaping some blessings today. I hope you don't get tired of me telling you how much I'm enjoying my family, what the Lord has given me right now. Folks, I'm reaping the blessings of putting things in the bank of heaven. And it is so precious now. It's so wonderful. So that's the reason why I encourage you, young folks in your youth, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven. Start investing in things that are right, because it reaps a rich reward as you grow and as you mature and life comes and you start to do things right. I want to hold forth in front of your mind. There is a sweet goal ahead. And I know that we can look around and see things that haven't always went right. I understand that. But I still want to hold forth the ideal. Amen. It's good. Yes. Strive for it. Ask the Lord to help you. And fret not yourself because of evildoers. Don't let the distractions of this world pull us aside in ways that would hinder that reaping of the sweet reward down there in the future. Bank on heavenly things. Fret not yourself because of evildoers. Neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. In other words, when you see those things that they're doing, don't want that. Don't desire that. Don't be envious of it. Don't let it disturb your peace. Look toward Jesus. Look toward righteous things. Alright, let's go on. For they shall soon be cut off. You see, look at, you start seeing into the future the folks that have taken that path. Sister Linda, I don't suppose you wouldn't mind me talking a little bit about your uncle, would you? She's got an uncle just passed away. When I was a young man, when I was a boy, a little boy, we lived in the same congregation that her uncles were. I remember them as boys. One of her uncles is younger than me and two of them older than I am. And This man recently, he gave himself to the party life. I don't know how else to describe it. He gave himself to wicked things. And you know, he ran hard after it. And he had, there were certain pleasures, I'm sure, that he found in it. But you know what? Recently, well, I understand that he had a brainstem aneurysm. Blood vessel ruptured. And he was out. Like a major type of stroke, this type of thing. And he couldn't communicate with anybody. They put him on life support. And shortly, it didn't take long, he went on out into eternity. Now, for a while, you could look at what maybe he thought he was really enjoying life. There was things he went after. And folks, I tell you, even when you observe people like that, you have to realize that they're really not enjoying life. But yet, you might think that for a little while. But for they shall soon be cut off. How quickly? She's got the uncle that is younger than I am. How old is Dave? 49? 40, 48? Really 47? If I could hold a picture of him up to you today, there would be nobody in here that would guess that he was below 60. Isn't that true? Let me tell you what sin does. It damages people. It damages your future. It damages your hopes. It damages your dreams. It's not fulfilling. Though it may seem pleasurable for a moment, they're soon cut off, folks. They're soon cut off. It doesn't reap the good things. So then when you recognize that, we stand back and take a picture and recognize, take a full view of what's really going on, we have to recognize, you know what, that's really not the path that anybody should want to take. Especially me. And especially you. You don't want to take that. So fret not yourself because of evildoers. Nor be envious of them in any wise, those who do evil. Just don't let it. It's not attractive, folks. They'll be soon cut off. First part of this, I think key phrases, fret not. This next verse starts out with trust in the Lord. I believe another key phrase. This is important for you and I. In our life that we live today, did you know while you're fretting, you're not trusting? You know while you're trusting, you've got peace? Did you know that there's a real key to life when I'm able to bring myself and my troubles, and yes, you're going to have troubles. When you're saved, that doesn't mean you're going to be absolved. You're not going to have any trouble. Salvation doesn't keep you from having troubles. I want to tell you what it does. It brings you to the place that you can rest in the Lord. You can take these troubles and give it in His hands and ask Him for guidance. And yes, He'll have us do some things as we're going through our troubles, some things He would have us to do. That doesn't mean just say, all right, God, I'm, you know, not going to do anything. Sometimes when we're trusting the Lord, He's communing with us and gives us things to do. Sometimes it is resting and waiting. You've heard that term, wait on the Lord. Wait, I say, on the Lord. And I've maybe mentioned this here before, but I'd like to mention again right now. Waiting has two different aspects. One of them is just sitting and patiently being still, waiting. And then there's another one that is expressed in this way. You know, when you go to a restaurant and you have somebody who's a table waiter, you know what they're doing? They're attending carefully to you. So there's a place for us to exercise patience while waiting on the Lord. There's also a place for us to exercise attentiveness. Wait, I say, on the Lord. So I want to encourage us today as you're going through life, when the Lord asks you to be still and know that I'm God, then wait like that. Then there's times when He says, put the singers in front and go forward. Then you get up and do that because you're attentive to His command. You're attentive to Him. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Fret not yourself. Don't let these things that we're going through your life right now so disturb you that you can't find the sweet peace of resting in God. Trust in Him. Trust in the Lord. Do good. While you're in maybe this part of your life that sometimes it confusion and things going on, you don't know how to really handle, well, just concentrate on trusting in the Lord and doing good. Do it right. Isn't that good? You know, when you do good, you can lay down. You don't have guilt just pressing you down. You can rest easier. The pillow feels better to your head. Oh, folks, there's so many blessings in just serving the Lord. Isn't it right? Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land. Well, I want to do more than just live on this land. And I appreciate the Lord letting us do that. But you know what? There's a land that I really want to own. And there's a land the devil wants to own too. You know, the devil would like to contend with you for your peace. I want to live on that land. I want to dwell in the land of peace. I want my soul to be a sweet dwelling place. I want to possess that land. I don't want this old flesh to rise up and take control and damage my peace. I don't want that. I want to dwell. I want to possess this land. And you can. Oh, by the grace of God today, every one of us can own this property. Oh, the price is high. It's well worth the price. Just give your all and keep it on the altar. And you've heard these terms. The saints have preached it. So put it all on the altar. Why do they say that? Why? So many times you've heard our older ministers say, leave it all on the altar. Give it all to the Lord. Folks, it's still a good message today. Put it all on the altar. Pay the price. You know why they said it? Because it works. You pay the price. When thy soul the perfect price is paid, God will send the holy fire. Don't you want to dwell in the land? It's a good land. Folks, he's still looking at a land that flows with milk and honey. And he looks at his children and said, I want you to get there. I want you to have this. Because I've got thoughts of peace. I've got an expected end to bring you to. I see you right now and I know the things you're going through and He's leading us and sometimes He's using the trials of life to refine us. And I want to encourage you when you're going through the trials of life, look for the refining, what the Lord's trying to do with you. Accept His correction. Enjoy. Oh, I know. Sometimes I know chastening for the moment. I know it's not joyful, but it's grievous. But keep on. Because afterwards, it will reap, you will reap the sweet reward. Amen. Sweet peace that brings. Oh, trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land and verily thou shalt be fed. I'm not talking about our stomachs this morning. I'm talking about the satisfaction of our soul. Have you ever... I suppose you have. I know I'll just tell you, I have. I went along through life and carried myself sometimes in such a way that finally I got lean in my soul. Didn't feed myself properly. You ever felt dried out inside? You ever went through dry places? I suppose everybody has. What do? When you start feeling that? You know, when you're thirsty, you know what you do? You go looking for a place that's got a good cold glass of water. And when your soul feels dried out, what do? Oh, right at that point, you know, the devil would like to offer you a false drink. Fret not yourself because of evildoers. Don't look that way. Go to the living fountain. He's, verily you'll be fed. Do good. trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. You just feel the sweet and filling of the Lord, the refreshing of the Lord. I'll tell you, folks, salvation's a good thing. I wish I could tell it to you the way I feel it. Salvation is rich. It's not just the enjoyment of being forgiven and that cleanness that it gives. It's as you walk in it. It's rich. It's good. I'm so glad it started down that way. Okay. Verse 3 starts out with trust in the Lord. Verse 4 starts out with delight thyself also in the Lord. You know what that means? Take abundant pleasure. Just feel the delight of being with Him. Amen. Have you ever had that? Have you ever had those times when you and the Lord spent just some special moments together? Maybe you went into your prayer closet. Sometimes I've went there before burdened down. And I went in there seeking for the Lord, needing some help, needing some... the fretting had gotten a hold of me, and I needed some relief. And I went in there like that, and as I began to commune with Him, I feel the feeding of my soul, the washing over, the cleansing, the making right. I want to tell you, it ended up having pure delight while I was there. There was another time, one time when I'd had a habit of spending time talking with the Lord. Most of the time I would begin my prayer and I would have all these things I would be bringing to the Lord and praying about and things that were troubling me, and I'd bring it to the Lord. And that morning I got up and it just seemed like everything was right in the world. But I still wanted to go talk to the Lord. And that morning I said, Lord, I don't have anything special to bring to You this morning. But I just want to talk with You. Amen. And folks, something about that. I just came out of the joy of my heart. I just want to talk with You. And He wanted to talk with me. He just came right there. It reminded me of a song. Maybe tomorrow I'll have troubles and sorrows, and 1,000 teardrops may fall. But until I face tomorrow's task, I have no special favor to ask. I just came to talk with You, Lord. You ever had that time? Folks, it's pure delight. Yes, it is. Delight thyself in the Lord. Find your joy in the Lord. Amen. Oh, folks, it's a joy that surpasses, transcends all other types of joy. He'll let you have other joys of life too. But folks, that's a pure, sweet, peaceable, just satisfying joy. Lord, help us all to learn how to enter into that type of a walk with the Lord and enjoy that. See, the joy of the Lord is your strength, folks. When you've experienced those things, those times, it serves as anchors to you in your life. Amen. Next time troubles come, they don't have near the power, because I know of who I believe. I'm persuaded He's able. I had some times with Him, you see. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. Well, on this very verse right here is one that Sister Diane, she was watching back then. Sister Diane Doolittle, when she was a young person in the congregation where I grew up also, she was there, and I talked to her actually later, and she didn't really remember this, but it made a real impression to me. This verse, she read that one time, and delight yourself in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. She had some things she desired. She read that verse and said, here's my coin to put in the vending machine. I delight myself in the Lord, I'm going to get what I want. And so she decided, I'm going to delight myself in the Lord. So she started seeking the Lord. And in the process of doing that, she came to Wednesday night prayer meeting one night and testified like this. She came in the process of seeking the way of the Lord, delighting herself in the Lord. She found that her desire that she had, the want she had before, changed. Wasn't the same. She didn't know that's what that scripture meant. But she said, was so pleased the way it worked out. All right. Let me encourage us all today to delight ourselves in the Lord. He'll give you the proper desires of your life. They'll be right. They'll be good. I'm so glad that Sister Diane did that and shared that with me. It's been a blessing to me through life, and I hope it'll be a blessing to you. Learn to delight yourself and to let the Lord change your desires into the right paths. What is good. Commit. All right, we've had fret not. Trust in the Lord. Delight yourself. And now this verse says, commit. These are all things we can do. Commit your way unto the Lord. And I said these are all things we can do, and it's true, but this is not always easy. But you can do it by the help of God. Commit. How, you know, I don't know how Gideon really felt. Maybe at first, when he had the big army come around him, he may have felt like, well, I believe we might be able to do this. A certain amount of confidence. But then they started whittling down. And he got to the point that there's only 300 of that 30,000 or so that was left. Now it's time to commit your way to the Lord. And it wasn't easy. Do you remember in the process of that how many times that Gideon, he put out that wool, that fleece? And the Lord confirmed over and over and over again. And you know, right on down at the end, had the 300 now. And he still knew the Lord was working in this thing, but Lord, I don't see how this is going to come about. In our human minds, folks, sometimes in our ways, I don't know how it's going to work out, Lord. And he's still saying, commit your way. Commit it. Commit it. It's not easy. And the Lord knows our frame is but dust. So he came to Gideon and said, Gideon, and I'm going to put this in my words, Gideon, if you're still afraid, if you still need some confirmation here, if you're still worried about this thing, take your servant with you and you go down there tonight and do some eavesdropping. Kind of sit outside the tents. He was still afraid. Lord, I need some more confirmation. You got something else for me, Lord? I want it. He went on down there, and you know what he heard. He heard the dreams, and it gave him some more confirmation. Folks, in the middle of where we are, and once in a while we get places in life that I hardly know what to do, what way to turn. Again, I know I don't want it just to be a tried answer, but folks, it's a good answer. Commit your way into the Lord. Amen. Commit our way into the Lord. And if you're still having trouble seeking for some more confirmation, He knows your frame is of a dust. He knows that you lack wisdom. He didn't upbraid you for not having it. He says, seek. If you don't have wisdom, seek Him for it. Amen. He won't shame you for being just a flesh that He made you. No, He'll come along and confirm. He did it for Gideon. He'll want to do it for you too. Amen. Commit your way. And it's, again, I say it's not always easy. May the Lord help us to learn how to do this though. In all life, the difficulties and places we go through life, to learn how to commit our ways unto the Lord. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. Don't you know the Lord's way is right? Yes. Even if at that moment we don't see it as being right, His way is still right. And He shall bring it to pass, and He shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Oh, there's a scripture that says something about wisdom is justified of her children. Something like that, isn't it? Is that the way it is? Wisdom is justified, I think, of her children. If you wait on the Lord, if you trust in Him, if you delight yourself, if you commit your way to the Lord, that is the path that eventually the Lord will confirm you did it right. Did you know? He shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light. It'll be true. It'll be manifest. At that moment, maybe you don't see it, but He'll bring it out. He'll bring it to pass. Commit your way. Follow on to know the Lord. Continue on. Don't get discouraged. Oh, the devil, he wants to try to get us to the point that we're just tired. Tired of fighting. Oh, be not weary in well-doing. For in due season you shall reap if you faint not. It's just the truth. He'll bring forth your righteousness as a light. He'll shine it forth. Oh, I enjoy so much when... Oh, I don't want to keep bringing my family into this, but folks, I really appreciate what the Lord has done. When my children come to me with their questions, when they respect the way I've lived before them, folks, I want to tell you, that is, you don't know how that blesses me. When they have seen that the way we've lived is good and right, and they want to do it too. Amen. Folks, I want to tell you what, He'll bring forth your righteousness as a light, as a beacon. He's right. He wants some beacons.
That's right.
All around this area. Not just here, but wherever we live. He wants beacons of light. Doing it right. Living right. Committing. People who commit your ways. Trust in the Lord. Who take delight in Him. And in those communities, those people, though they feel like they maybe not, maybe we're not standing out on the street corner handing out tracts and trying to really get people. And I'm not opposed to that. But you know what? It's real. It's impressive to see a man living in the community just trusting the Lord and doing it right. Folks, that's a beacon. It's a light. You learn to do that and it'll be a light to all your neighbors. And it'll bless your community. It's blessed this neighborhood right here. He shall bring forth thy righteousness as a light and thy judgment as a noonday. I think about judgment here for a little bit. You know, there's an aspect of judgment where we can use our opinions and our ways to be oppressive to people, and that's not what God wants. He teaches against that. There's also a place that God would have us to know within our heart what's right and not be ashamed of it and stand for it. And even be willing to call sin, sin. Folks, it's still sin. There is an idea that we have in this nation today that is trying to get us to the point that we would close our mouths to crying out against evil. And the devil takes advantage of that and further propagates his evil. And would even call us evil if we cry out against evil.
That's
folks, it's still wrong. I don't think God wants us to take pleasure in oppressing anyone. That's not what we're talking about here. But there's a place to just simply stand up for righteousness and righteous ways. The Lord loves judgment. He loves it. He loves righteous judgment. Not judgment that I condemn you to hell. That's God's place. There's also a place for us to say, folks, there's a better way.
Amen.
What you're doing is damaging to your soul.
Amen.
There's things that's very clear in the Scripture. I was struck recently when we were reading the story of Sodom and Gomorrah. How all those men came out there and surrounded that house. And Lot came out and he said, do not this great wickedness. Did you know he was judging folks? Do not this great wickedness. And they said, "What? Who gave you the right? You're a stranger in our neighborhood. We've invited you in. And who gave you the right to be a judge?" That's what they said now. Who gave you a right to be a judge amongst us? Have you ever heard people today, don't you know they hide behind, judge not. They're hiding behind that, folks. Folks, again, the best thing is us to say, do not this great wickedness.
Amen.
It's wrong in the eyes of God.
Yes.
Oh, Lord, help us to know how to do this right. And the way we learn how to do that right is this process of fretting not ourselves because of the evildoers. Learning how, trust in the Lord, delight yourself, commit your ways. And the Lord will bring this to pass. He'll help us to know how to do it right. To stand right. We don't want to be damaging the people. He that winneth souls is wise. Lord, help us to do it right.
Amen.
Then this next verse gives us another. We already talked some about this. Rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for Him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospers in his way. Because of the man who brings wicked devices to pass, this is just reiterating what we've already went over. Don't let that become part of the driving force of our life. Folks, again, I would caution us, especially in where we are today and all the things that are going on, that we don't get caught up in the fretting.
Amen.
God wants us to still be a peaceful people.
That's
a people that has the love of God in our heart. And a person who is able to minister. And folks, when you're all fretful and all torn up, you can't do very good at the ministering. God wants us to be in a position that we can minister to all the hurting people around us. And show them something better. If we fret just like they are, folks, we're not showing them anything better. The light's not shining. The beacon's not there. Oh, Lord, help us. Time's getting on. Step over here. 23rd verse of the same chapter says, the steps of a good man are ordered by God. You know, God's interested in ordering all of our steps. What hinders Him from doing that is if we decide, I'm going to order my own. You know, it's easy for a conductor to conduct his orchestra if the people are watching him. It's a whole lot easier for the Lord to order our steps when our eyes are fixed on Him. When my heart's focused on Him. When I'm delighting myself in His ways. It's a whole lot easier for Him to keep us out of trouble. It's a whole lot easier for Him to keep this whole congregation in unity when our eyes are fixed on Him. It's a whole lot easier. A lot of things just kind of get washed away when we're watching the conductor. When he's saying, it's your turn now. Maybe it's your turn to humble yourself. All humility is a powerful weapon. And it's a beautiful instrument when played. Oh, it sends forth a beautiful sound. Oh, Lord, help us to employ it. When the Lord is trying to conduct us as His people, all of us together, He knows our personalities and our differences. And He's really not trying to make us all the same person. You know, the French horn has its place in an orchestra. And so does the bassoon. The kettle drum, they don't sound a bit alike or look alike. I know I'm getting over into maybe classical music here, things that maybe not everybody's interested in. But the point that I'm making is that you get something like that and it comes together, and somebody, that they've written all the parts to this and blend together, and some of them can really make, I know you might have a different opinion than I do, but some of them can really make attractive sounds. Let's take that over to how the Lord is wanting to conduct you and I with all different sizes, shapes, different people, different backgrounds. It's your turn. Move up here. Use some humility here. Use a little forgiveness here. Use a little godliness. Seek the faith. Learn how to trust in the Lord. All these things as the Lord. See, the steps of a good man are ordered. And they're ordered by God. God wants to direct us all. It's when we step out of that and begin to try to take our own way, then the notes of discord comes in. Kettle drums over there rapping away. Oh, I can do it. I want to tell you what, you're going to drive everybody off. It's only supposed to come in once in a while. Peter and the wolf, you're supposed to sound like you're shooting the guns here now. Maybe y'all don't know that Peter and the Wolf. When I was a boy, my mother used to play me that record about Peter and the Wolf. And I always liked it when they hunters are banging their drums. But I wouldn't want that all the time. And folks, every one of us, you know, we are lively stones that the Lord has fit together as it pleases Him, put together in your place. And if we try to get out of our place, did you know the wall is weakened? When we try to beat our own drum as hard as we can, you know it's a discordant sound. There's a time for it. The steps of a good man are ordered by God. Lord, help us all to stay in His order, to find His order, seek His face, wait patiently on Him. Let the Lord guide. And I'm not going to say you're always going to do it right, but you learn. Have a heart to learn. And when you find out that maybe you came in out of time, say, Lord, I need some more practice on that one. Give me that trial again. I want to do it right. Order my steps, Lord. Folks, isn't this a right way to live? Isn't it good? You know, He can take rough people with all kinds of hard, rough ideas, and He can start smoothing you down. And fit us together where we're just right. And take a big group of people that you wonder, how in the world can all those people get together and have a good time and feel, have unity among them? Well, they can do that because they're all of their eyes are focused on the conductor. And He just brought them together. I tell you folks, and I know not everybody can sing all that well. You get a monarch and you can have a whole bunch of voices. And I know some people that are singing there at Monarch in that same crowd, that they're, if they listen to them alone, it's not very melodious. But I've seen them rejoicing in the Lord in song. I want to tell you, you get everything fitting together there. And you go to Monarch and you listen to the saints rejoicing in the Lord and tell me that's not a beautiful sound. Oh, it's beautiful. You know the reason why it's beautiful? Because their hearts are all headed that way. Folks, it's a beautiful thing. The conductor, the steps of a good man are ordered by this conductor. They're ordered by the Lord. God help us all to be in His order. Now, I'll bring in again down here the latter part of this chapter. The writer here said, I've seen the wicked. I've seen them in great power. I've seen them spreading themselves like a green bay tree. And I can kind of relate a little bit to that today. It seems like that we're in a time, it seems like wickedness has the upper hand. Yet, he passed away, and lo, he was not. I really would rather they were get saved before they passed away, folks. But the fact is, wickedness isn't always going to be in power. And in the meantime, even if we're living at the time where wickedness is so oppressive, there's still a place. There's a high tower that the righteous can run into and are safe. Fret not yourself because of evildoers. In this time we live in today, learn to trust in the Lord. Learn to delight yourself. Learn to commit your ways unto the Lord. Learn to allow the Lord to direct your steps. The steps of a good man are ordered. That means He directed those steps. He ordered your walk. Lord, order my steps, because quite frankly, it's not in man that walketh to direct him. We don't have that ability. There's things we can't see. But God's able. And I want to encourage us today. Go forward in the Lord. Seek His face. Do it right. It'll reap great reward.